Hello and welcome. Ronnie's Own Media and RonnieZone.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. My name is Jeff Roney, and I'm joined by the sort of sickly...
Colleen Roney.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. I have a cold.
So, what I'm going to do is we're going to do kind of our opening, you know, we kind of have a little banter here and there.
Yeah.
And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over completely to, I'm just going to play the voicemails, because I can't do it without her, and I just...
Well, I can do it, it just sounds terrible, and I'll try not to, like, sneeze or cough too much and blow my nose and all that good stuff, so we'll go until I signal you that I just can't do it anymore.
Okay. All right. So, anyhow...
Bear with me, people. It's not normal. If you're a regular listener, you know this isn't normal for me.
So, okay.
What?
The first thing is we had an incredible Monday.
We did.
Now,
we did
the highest hit numbers ever for the website was a certain number that, to me, was incredible.
Yep.
Well, Monday, we doubled it.
That's amazing.
And then some.
Oh, my God.
It was the most incredible thing I've ever
seen.
It was very awesome. And it was, you know, cool blog posts and cool different things. And it just, all the planets lined up and it was really an incredible day. So,
and Tuesday was pretty incredible too, actually.
Yeah.
Because Tuesday, Mr. Carlisle decided to get on Twitter and answer questions for about an hour. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to take a quick break and look at Twitter. And I saw it about 30 seconds after he posted that he was open for questions. And I went, I'm in. And I posted a question to him. Excuse me. And I got a response back and thought I was going to faint.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have a little thing for Mr. Carlisle.
Yeah, you do.
A little bit of one. So that was Tuesday. And then Wednesday was pretty awesome for you because...
Right. Because I did a blog post and I said, Ruby watches back. And somehow Megan Ory saw it.
She saw it.
And retweeted that tweet about the blog post. And then I fainted. So it was, it's been an pretty incredible week this week for both of us.
And then I woke up this morning and felt like garbage. And so I worked from home today.
Yep.
Might do it tomorrow just because, you know, I'm not quite there yet. So,
we'll kind of keep it short, but, Just know that this show is going places.
Oh, totally.
If you think that we are just about three podcasts, a blog, a forum, and if you think that's all we are, you are in for surprises to come.
Yay.
Because we have big plans and we have people stepping in to help. And it's really going to be incredible. So I love this community. I love the people that are here. And I really cherish each and every one of you. But we are going to grow.
That's true.
We are going to grow. We are going to It really is going to be something else. So you will be hearing about it very soon, and it's going to be really, really neat.
Yes.
And it's different. It's something that I never thought would happen, but it's happened organically, and it's really going to be cool.
Which is as it should be anyway.
Yeah. Now,
makes it even sweeter.
By saying that, I would also mention just a couple of things is we always certainly want you to mention this podcast to your friends.
Yeah.
Or your family or folks that you think would really enjoy this and enjoy Once Upon a Time. So please always share with your friends. And one day soon, we're going to make it a little easier. So we'll talk about that in the future. And also, I want to remind, first of all, I want to welcome everybody who's listening. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. And I also want to welcome the new listeners.
Yes.
Not a day or two goes by that I get someone else saying, wow, I just found your podcast and I listened to all of them. And that really, it warms my heart that someone would take the time, start at one and work all the way out and listen to the holiday special and all this kind of stuff. So it is really, really neat. So if you're a new listener, welcome.
Yes, we welcome you.
And we want you to know that we are on iTunes. We really, really, really appreciate, we would appreciate if you would not only subscribe on iTunes, but also rate and review on iTunes.
Yes.
We really would appreciate a 5-star review, and we can kind of build out from there.
My Wookiee, sorry.
Yeah. And it's going to help us in the future if we can continue to kind of build out the ratings and reviews, the best ratings that we can, and we'll just move forward.
Yes.
Now, let me kind of address this. Is sometimes, in the back of my mind, I think that there may be folks who enjoy listening on the website. And that's okay. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't have an iPod.
Yes.
You can download iTunes.
Sure.
Set up an account.
Yep.
And rate and review our podcast, because you need to think of iTunes kind of like Google, that you can search for things, and you can search for the Once Upon a Time Fan podcast, and be sure to look for Roni's Own Media. When you see Roni's Own Media and Once Upon a Time Fan podcast, you know you're in the right place.
Yes.
And at that point, you should have an account. You can leave a 5-star rating and review, and we really would appreciate that. Because I know that there are some people that just don't have an iPod or whatever. Okay? So I realize that. But you still can download iTunes, set up an account, rate and review the show, and we really appreciate that.
Yep.
And what's really cool, too, is it's hard to remember sometimes, is iTunes is different for every country.
It is.
So I know that we have some ratings in Canada. Yes. We have some ratings in Britain. And whatever your country you are from, that would really be neat if you would rate and review our podcast in your country.
Yeah.
It'd be really neat. So thank you so much for that. And let's see, I think.
Is there anything else?
I think that was pretty much it.
Again, I'm really sorry for my.
And there's the phone.
Fantastic. I'm really sorry for my cold. It's really nasty.
Okay.
It's annoying as heck.
So, yep, I think that's it.
Yes.
So we will go into our first voicemail. Great. Here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, this is Mason. I just thought I'd give another call to you guys. So this past weekend, before the What Happened to Cedric episode, my older sister and I watched the episodes from episode one because she had no idea what the show was about. And so I was wondering if there's an easier way to explain the show to friends. Like, I tried the basic premise, you know, and, you know, some of the people I told about, they were still kind of confused about the plot. So I'm wondering if there's, like, an easier way to explain the show, the people who aren't that into, you know, the fairy tale side or even drama itself. So that'd be great. And my sister, my oldest sister, she pointed out something. I'm not sure if you guys caught it too, but in the second episode, the third episode, Prince Charming tells Snow White about the ring from his mother. And one thing that my sister pointed out was that I think there's a couple of shots of the ring that Charming was going to give to Abigail. And if you look at the color, it's green. And then there's a scene when after they bring David back to the hospital, and Mary Margaret is sitting in her apartment twirling the ring, and it's another close-up, and it's the same ring. So I'm not sure if you guys noticed that or not, but I figured I'd point out, but if you guys noticed it, then, well, I'm a fool. my sister also knows the Golden Fleece, and she thinks that the stranger could be also a Grim Rider. So, again, I'm enjoying the podcast, and thanks again for your guys' well-responding. Sorry. responding well. So, and also, when I was giving a shout-out to the form, F-O-R-U-M, it sounded like I was saying the other word, so that's why I was spelling it out. So, yes. Folks, please visit the form. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Mason, for calling. So, a couple of things. There was kind of the elevator pitch for the show. Then there was the green ring.
Right.
And
the fleece.
The golden fleece.
Yeah. So I figure let's take the ring and the fleece first because those are shorter and easier to quickly get through. And then we can kind of circle back to the whole explanation because that may take a little longer to maybe pare it down. So the green ring. Yes, we did notice that the ring is the same one as Mary Margaret is twirling on her finger in Snow Falls, I believe is the episode. And that was a big to do because we've also supposedly it's also been seen on Regina's hand or a similar ring on Regina's hand.
With Regina, according to an interview, I don't have where and when and all that. Supposedly she said she picked that ring out or the same colored ring out to wear that day.
So it was kind of a fluke. Right. It was not purposeful. It was a part of the show.
That's what I understand.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Okay. And then as far as the Golden Fleece, yeah. Originally, we thought it was a Minotaur head because it kind of has an animal buffalo-looking head. But then on closer inspection, the second or third time I watched the episode, I realized it was actually the Golden Fleece, which is from Greek mythology, Jason and the Argonauts. So that's the fleece is definitely there. So that's really cool that she picked that up, especially for being a newbie.
Yep.
So as far as understanding or explaining the premise to people who haven't watched it.
Hold on 2 seconds.
Sorry.
We did a blog post about the green ring. What I recommend, and this is going to sound like I have a big head here, and I really don't. So what I really recommend is if you've listened to the podcast, we really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. If you've never gone to the blog, I plead with you to go all the way back to the beginning and work your way forward. There's a little button that says, you know, Once Upon a Time blog. You can click on there and it'll sort it for you. So it'll have all the blogs there. Go all the way back and work your way forward. If you've never seen it, you will be blown away. Yes. With the deputies are posting things, I'm posting things, and you will find things that we've never talked about on this show.
Yeah.
So if you really want the full experience, go through the blog. You'll find the green ring there. You'll find all kinds of things.
Little
fun things here and there, but I really recommend that you would do that. So let's talk about they call them an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
When you come up to somebody and you want to quickly explain something.
You only have the length of an elevator ride. It's an average elevator ride.
Yep.
So 30 seconds or whatever. So, the elevator pitch for Once Upon a Time would be, what do you think?
So, say all the fairy tale characters living in a fairy tale land, the evil queen curses them to come to a small town in Maine today. That's it. That's really the show.
So. That's a really, really broad nutshell, and that would work maybe for some people. Think, oh, okay, I get it. I would suggest that you go one step further, is that the fairy tale characters, the beloved fairy tale characters that most people are, grew up listening to or learning about, are trapped between two worlds. They are trapped between the fairy tale world and the real world, the present day world. And they don't know in the present day world that they are fairy tale characters. So the curse, there's a dreadful curse that has kind of trapped them between two worlds. And the show is about them finding their way back to fairy tale world.
And another great way to help her understand it is listen to a little podcast. Maybe she could start at the beginning.
Yeah.
And kind of work her way forward.
Yes.
And she can find that podcast at onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yes.
Just saying.
That's an option.
So again, thanks so much, Mason.
Yes.
You're very kind. And yes, the forum is an incredible place. Mm-hmm. I knew that it would suit a great purpose, and it is doing that. So
that's awesome.
Yep. And Mason's there adding things to it, and there's a lot of great folks dropping by. So
yay.
Excellent. Now our next voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's Johnson from Birmingham again. Just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job as always. And I'm still trying to get my friend's friend to do that transcript of one of your shows that's from Africa. The way it's looking.
Uh-oh. We lost Jonathan.
Oh.
Sorry, bud. Let's see. It may be the next call. Let's see here.
Maybe it cut him off.
205. Yep, yep. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Jonathan again. My phone dropped the call for some reason. But I was saying I'm still trying to get my friend from Africa to do that one transcription for you for the episode. But it looks like I may have to do a couple of favors for him just to get him to consider it and possibly do it. I'm still working hard on it. I haven't heard back from him since he said I may have to do a favor, but hopefully he'll do it soon. I'll let you know, and you can email me the part you want him to read, and I'll send it to you guys, but I'll let you know more. But keep up the great work. I love the last episode where Mr. Gold, as I should probably call him, Rumpelstiltskin, and the Evil Queen, acknowledged each other from Fairy Tale Land, and I still am kind of stuck on that. Maybe the new guy on the motorcycle, maybe like you said, Henry, or maybe an immortal fairy tale character that we don't know about, who remembers everything and has originally written the book. Keep it up, and I'll talk to you there. Bye.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Now, don't do too many favors.
Yeah.
If it's really going to be, kind of tough,
yeah.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
It'd be cool, but don't put yourself out for that.
So I really appreciate it, but let's just hold off.
We don't want you to put yourself out.
No. Favors are tough.
They are.
Especially Rumpelstiltskin. It's, you don't want all that. So, it was really cool to see that whole jail scene.
Yeah.
And all that. And I have to say, you were talking about the mysterious stranger who we now know as August Booth. Wayne Booth. I really like the guy. He is a great actor.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the scenes with him and M. I thought that was fantastic.
Yes. He is very, he's very interesting. And there's things about him I really like. I mean, besides the fact that he's nice to look at, he's an interesting character.
I noticed that Emma's hair looked fantastic.
Oh, well, she always has beautiful hair.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They all do.
The tree had a lot of discussions this week.
The tree, you mean the tree next by to the wishing well. Oh, yeah. Well, so, it kind of reminds me of the town's logo, the town seal.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Some think that, and some have also mentioned that it could be the tree of life.
Well, and that's
true. Other things. It's so close to the water that it's kind of magical.
Sure.
So there'll probably be a blog post about that coming up pretty soon.
Probably.
But yeah, just for the Lost fans, it was that whole drinking of the water reminded me a little bit of the Jacob scene with Jack.
With Jack? Oh, when he gave...
And then Jack and Hurley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
So, anyway, it's interesting. And here is the next voicemail.
Great.
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan from Birmingham, Alabama. I wanted to also say, I meant to say in my earlier phone call, that I also did a blog post about you guys on my blog, which is jonathanseverydaylife.blogspot.com. I think I had emailed you guys a link or I may have emailed you what my actual review was for it. I know you guys want us to put reviews on iTunes for you. I've got to do that also. But I wanted to let you know I did it about a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember if I emailed you the link or the actual review or what, but I wanted to let you guys know anyway, just in case, cover my bases. But I said how pretty much I gave you guys a great review. I'll put it to iTunes with 5-star rating also, so you guys can get yourselves out there too. I also had started a little podcast. I've only done a few episodes since January of last year. I'm going to do some more on a book series, too, and I figured I'd see what you guys thought of it. If you guys want to know more, just let me know, and I'll send you the link to the website I have for it, and you can listen to the few episodes I have. But this isn't about me. It's about how well you guys do and everything with Once Upon a Time. And I'm just about to watch tonight's episode, which is being February 19th. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'm about to right now. But I just wanted to let you guys know that. And keep up the great work. Catch you guys later. Bye.
Thanks so much, Jonathan. And yeah, I will find that link and post about that here. Just kind of let everybody know about your site and your kind words, and appreciate the review. And yeah, let me know about the podcast, and I'll take a listen at it. And we need to support each other, so that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
She's still knitting, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm on project number 2 now. It's a washcloth. Our dishcloth. It's very nice and easy, and that's where you hear the weird rustling noise and the clacking. That's my needles.
Here is the next voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's Tyler calling with my first initial reactions to what happened to Frederick. Holy crap. I got a phone call in the middle of the episode tonight, so I had to just finish it now. So I know you're finishing recording the first thoughts, and I'm giving you my first thoughts. My initial reactions, just holy smokes. I loved the fact that it turned out that August W. Booth happened to be a kind person. I think he's going to be pretty integral to the outcome of the show. And I love that he was mending the book. I wasn't sure what was happening, but it looked as if he was mending. I was surprised when I saw the wet pages, but I was definitely very pleased to see that he got the book back to Emma so that she could give it to Henry. Also, where is Catherine? it shows what looked to me like Frederick pulling up to try to help her as a good Samaritan, and then all of a sudden she's not even in the car. So what happened to her? And we think it may have been Regina that did it, just to frame it on Snow? Because I'm pretty darn positive it was framed on Snow, seeing as to how she and Emma were together that whole time. So, pretty solid alibi when you're with the sheriff the whole time. But, holy smokes, this was a good episode. Also, for anyone that loves fairy tales and Disney as much as I do, if you have a Disney store anywhere near you, they are ramping up to celebrate their 25th anniversary. And they've got some really cool special edition items that are flying off the shelves now, and they're limited to 2,500 runs. I just got the Snow Globe today, and it's shaped like an old radio with a bunch of the characters on it. So I'll post a picture once I get it up on display for everyone. I'll send it to y'all, but I just thought I'd let everyone know about that deal. And, yeah, can't wait to hear the first thoughts and the other episodes this week, and I'll post a picture of what I've been working on at my dad's shop soon. Rapunzel got put on hold, but I will have that done as soon as I can. I'd love to get it done really soon. So, actually, a Dumbo project got put in front of her, so there's another Disney connection in fairy tales, so I'll leave it at that, and it's time for me to go find something to eat for dinner. Bye.
Thanks, Tyler, much.
Yeah.
It was a great episode.
It was.
And that is very interesting that you really kind of pointed out something I didn't even really consider, is that Regina is trying to really frame Snow.
Well, yeah, she is. But what's funny is, okay, so we know she won't be able to because Snow has an alibi. But, yeah, I think that on some level, Regina did cause her to crash and maybe disappear. And the reason I say that is because, remember, Regina was originally going to try and talk her out of leaving. And then she probably realized that was a good opportunity to be able to frame Snow for something, because she knows what will happen to her. So my thinking is, yeah, she probably purposely told her, yeah, go ahead, leave.
Yeah, and it was, it was a really good point. I didn't really even consider that, but we're so leery about things like, well, she's gone, she's disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, so.
Well, remember, Ashley was outside the car
right
when she crashed, and she was in the grass. So, I mean, the interesting thing is, and we kind of talked about this tonight while we're re-watching the episode, is why the heck was Frederick driving down the road? Yeah. Where was he going?
Yeah.
Was he going for pizza in Boston? I mean,
I did.
I know you said that. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, kind of, it is funny, because why was he on that road? It's kind of random and weird that he just happened to be the one on that road. So anyway, the fact is, maybe what happened was that, you know, Catherine ended up kind of on the side. Somehow she climbed out of the car, and either she transported back to Fairytale World, or she's hiding somewhere in the woods there, or Frederick found her on the side and took her and is going to keep her safe.
Well,
I don't know.
That would be an interesting twist if the Evil Queen sent her back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And she was alone.
Yeah, see?
You know, yeah.
And that'd be a really crazy twist, but
you know, somebody, I can't remember who, said that there may be an army of this B team, you know, underneath Storybrooke, you know, and Evil Queen just kind of calls him up to you know, keep David away from
Mary Margaret.
So anyway, it's very interesting.
Pretty much the funny thing is, though, in this episode, she didn't have to do much to keep them apart. David was dumb enough to do the damage on his own.
Well, yeah, and this has been pointed out a number of places already, but, you know, David in Fairytale Land did everything right. And he made all the right choices.
Yep.
He helped a damsel in distress. He did something for somebody
selfless,
else.
Yeah,
right.
He did.
And in Storybrooke, he did everything wrong.
Yeah, he's very selfish. Selfish and leery and totally pansy. He's like scared of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and he couches it and, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And the problem is he wasn't thinking about anybody but his own feelings. That's the problem.
Right.
So, yeah.
But yeah, back to Tyler. He is a very crafty guy, this
he
guy.
He is. He's very talented.
Working in his dad's shop, doing all these cool things. So thanks so much for the pictures.
We love them.
And you got to keep that stuff up, because artistic work, you know, including knitting and all these other things, very, very important. You know,
it is.
I do. I enjoy podcasting and I enjoy the creative process of all this, but yeah. You know, I mean,
and I'm guessing that Tyler has learned from his dad, which is awesome that his dad is passing on that skill and that knowledge to Tyler, who then can hopefully turn around and pass that on to somebody in his future if he has any children in his future.
Yep.
I know he's still really young. In fact, I believe he has a birthday coming up. So happy birthday.
Happy early birthday,
Tyler, because I'm pretty sure it's in the next couple of days.
Wow. So, very cool.
Just wanted to point that out.
So here we go to the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Dave from Michigan. I'm calling in on my headset driving to work, so if I cut in and out, I am sorry. I watched Once Upon a Time last night, but I wanted to let it sink in before I called with my impressions of the episode. One of the biggest things for me in this episode was that I wanted to punch David about 7 times. I could not believe how they portrayed him throughout this whole thing as being such an idiot. Not telling the truth, and then not understanding why Mary Margaret was angry. It's just ridiculous. It makes you almost not like the character, and that drives me nuts, because he's conserving. So, that was the first thing that I wanted to point out. Another thing was, I love the story about Frederick. I thought that was really cool. I did not realize it was the gym teacher right away. I thought he was going to come into play at a later date and that Frederick was going to be somebody else, maybe the stranger. But that was it. That was cool for me because I picked up on it about 15 minutes left in the episode when Abigail was talking about, you know, herself finding love. I was like, oh, was that guy she bumped into? So that was kind of cool. I don't think the Queen actually arranged for this to happen. I think she just assumed that she found out about the affair. I think she took pleasure in it once she realized that she was the one that revealed it. But I don't think that was part of her plot, because to break up Abigail and David would be a problem, which was obvious at that point. You know, for her, the longer she can keep them together, the less likely Mary Margaret and David are to becoming actual true love and breaking the curse. So I don't think she really played a part in the initial part of the breakup. Let's see, what else was there? I love the mysterious stranger taking Emma to the well. But everybody's saying that what was brought back to her from the wishing well was the book. I disagree. I think the book was there, put there by the mysterious stranger, but what was brought back to her was Operation Cobra and Henry, because she was able to give the book back to him, and he got excited to put enough to put to come back to the idea of Operation Cobra. I think we're going to see him back in the show doing stuff with her behind Regina's back, and I think that's what the leg brought back to her. So, those are just my initial thoughts. I don't have a whole lot of theories right now, but I will try an email for the email show, because I probably won't call back in time for the next show, but I'll try to email before Saturday night, so maybe I'll be on the show this time.
All right. Wow, you cut off right at the end. There.
What he said.
Yeah.
I totally agree with everything
he just said. Thanks, Dave, so much for calling.
And I totally agree. I wanted to smack the crap out of David so many times in that episode. I was frustrated as heck.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he lied to Mary Margaret, the fact that he lied to Abigail, the fact that he, like, again, was so selfish and only thought of himself. That was crazy. And then the book thing, the whole returning it back to Emma, you're right. That wasn't the thing that was lost, because I think he planted that book in the gutter. And I think he also put a bunch of leaves all over her car so she would automatically go back and push them off. Because when it rains like that, leaves don't end up on top of the car. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
She had to brush a lot of leaves off her car. One or two.
Maybe a wind, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not thinking.
Okay.
So I think he put them up there so she would have to brush them off. And when she did, she'd see the book, because it was tucked so neatly right behind her wheel.
Well, okay. So let's talk about this. We mentioned that when we're watching the show tonight, the rewatch.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the water that she drank is going to start to trigger memories, maybe when she sleeps in dreams. And that's, I think, the next episode name is Dreamy.
But dreamy, but I think that's so, about the. I think that's about another dwarf.
Okay, but I'm saying that
but it's possible.
I think the water is going to start to kind of jog memories and things.
Memories of a baby?
Yeah.
Really?
Well.
All right. I guess it's plausible. It's a little far-fetched.
Nothing is a coincidence.
No, nothing is a coincidence.
And I think when she drinks the water, something is going to happen. Okay.
Well, we'll see.
Well, so.
At some point in time, though, mark my words, I think the well is going to come into play somewhere else for someone else. And that may not trigger Emma, but maybe she, because she knows of the magical quote-unquote properties, it will trigger memories for somebody else.
Well, okay.
So, you know what I'm saying?
So this, what can happen is this, is something really bad could happen. Let's say maybe David is lost or hurt or something. Uh-huh. And Snow White goes to that well and knows there's something magical about it and actually wishes.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? And actually does what it is called.
Yeah.
And something really happens.
That's possible.
Magical, and then whatever. So anyway.
Something magical will happen with that well at some point in time for somebody. I can't think of who. And then the other thing he was talking about was the whole gym teacher.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to, and I looked when she bumped into him, I'm going, okay, mentally remember that guy because he's going to come into play somewhere and maybe not in this episode, somewhere else. And sure enough, what was it, 10, 15 minutes later, there he is again. I'm like, oh, look, it's Frederick.
He kind of looked like Crispin Glover a little bit.
A little bit. He had a similar bone structure or whatever.
You're my density.
Yeah. And then, well, that was the other thing. What was the other thing he was talking about? Oh, the fact that Regina didn't plot the whole Abigail and David thing. No, I'm pretty sure she didn't. In fact, I'm quite positive she was really desperate without trying to be desperate. Desperately wanted Abigail to get back together.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah,
thank you so much. And your headset sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it was actually very good.
Good job. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Jonathan from Birmingham, Alabama again. On the episode, on your first thoughts of this past episode, Skin Deep, I think is what it was. I just want to say that the siren out of the lake that Prince Charming had to go against to get the water to save his fiance's true love. Before he said that she was a siren and she changed shapes and all that, at first I thought they were trying to throw in the King Arthur legend of the Lady in the Lake. I thought they were going that out until she changed into Snow White and Prince Charming called her a siren. Well, I don't know the full true story behind the legend of the Lady in the Lake, but that's what I thought. But I just want to say that. I'm still listening to your first thoughts on it. But I just wanted to say that and to keep up the great work as usual. And I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Jonathan. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. The Lady in the Lake. First, that's what I thought that was too. And what I'm thinking is that, I mean, yeah, James called her a siren, which typically sirens were in the ocean. That's where he found the sirens. And Lady of the Lake did have, in Arthurian legend, she gave him Excalibur. She pulled Excalibur out of the lake. That's how, anyway. Point is that, at least that's the way I remember it. I could be wrong, but what I'm thinking is they blended the two, much like they've done with some of the other characters. They possibly blended the two stories together to kind of explain why there's a siren in a lake, because a siren typically wouldn't be in the lake. She would be in an ocean. So, and originally, even at one point in time, we thought that it would be a mermaid, which sirens typically were mermaids. But again, they could take on, they mostly sang though. I don't remember them taking on different shapes. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Pirates movie kind of.
Movie. But yeah. Anyway.
But I did want to at least kind of touch on one thing is the whole, because it was Abigail called the siren a ghastly beast and a beast. So, is this whole thing the guardian and ghastly and drowns the victims and all this? So, it reminded me a lot of a lot of these fairy tales and these myths and facing the dragon to go, win the maiden or win power or win something. You know, and there's also these stories about warriors and samurai warriors going to fight, these other samurai, bad samurai, and you have to kind of go through. There's lackey number three, lackey number two, lackey number one, and then you face the big one. It's actually kind of, it's interesting, like a Legend of Zelda game. There's all these little monsters, and then you make the big monster, and then you slay that.
Right, and that's typical of most fairy tales. I mean, that's kind of a formulaic thing with fairy tales, is you have certain key elements that are almost exclusive to fairy tales. You have a princess who either does know she's a princess or doesn't know she's a princess. You have a prince or a guy who doesn't know he's a prince who becomes one. You have some sort of monster, and frequently you have obstacles, maybe lesser monsters, before you get to the big one.
Or a failure of character. Problem.
Right.
Limp, fear of heights, fear of something to kind of get through and get over.
Obstacle they have to work on. Yep. That's typical. So, interesting. But
it did remind me a bit of, on a wide view scale, of like when Luke went into the cave on Dagobah. Because, he said, Yoda said, you have to go in there. You don't need your weapons. And he took his weapon, and that's what was used on him. So it was the whole thing of, facing fear, and then part of his fear of, that he was his father, the evil part,
Right.
And so it was kind of interesting, is this whole thing, when I watched it again, I did kind of see that. It was not just to get the water, but it was also to kind of overcome the temptation of doing the wrong thing. And when he realized that the siren offered a fake love and death, or tried to kill him, he said, no, I want the real thing. I felt real love, and this isn't it. And it was just, there's a lot of depth to that, obviously.
There was. Well, and the whole thing was, I kind of wonder, based on what he was saying, in his mind, he figured, okay, the worst that can happen is I die. Failure's mine. But if I succeed, then maybe she'll get her love back. But then I was thinking, what if he doesn't succeed, but he doesn't die, and he goes back and says, hey, I couldn't help you, but, you and I could still be together. And then that's when he realized, when she was seducing him, the siren was seducing him, he didn't want the fakeness. He really, truly wanted the real. Or maybe it's just that he was willing and ready to give up on Snow White. And when she provided the fake Snow White, and he realized, no, I want the real thing. That's what drove him and motivated him to go finish what he was there to do and then go find Snow White.
Yeah. And it was a very pretty classic, seduction scene.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Talk about peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I'm not sure if this is we're going to see what this is here. This voicemail.
Hey guys, never mind. This is Jonathan from Birmingham again. You guys just touched on the lady in the lake. But I just want to say that. I guess I need to listen to your podcast fully through before I call and start making talks about that. But just keep up the great work. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
No problem, Jonathan.
No problem
at all.
We still love getting the phone calls.
Absolutely.
And we're glad that you're listening to it, and it prompts something for you, and you feel the need to call. So, by all means.
Thank you much. And now the next voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Dave from Michigan again. Just watched this show a second time with a buddy of mine. I watched it in HD. So, we did a freeze frame of the pages that August was making look old or whatever he was doing to them. And it tells the story about a dwarf that was about to be carried off by an eagle. I did a search on that phrase and found that that's part of the story of Snow White and Rose Red. Hmm. So maybe they are going that route, that Ruby and Snow are sisters. But that's kind of cool that we've been talking about that from the beginning, and it might actually be true. Couple of things. Was August adding to the book, or was he making a copy for himself or for someone else? Nostos, I looked up, is Greek for homecoming, which has a dual meaning. It could mean the death, that they were coming to the end of their life in that lake, Lake Nostos. The other option is that the water from the lake brings back something that you want. So Nostos was a very appropriate name for the story that they were going for, which is why I think they did it, which is cool. The last is a theory that, that my buddy came up with me, that David in Storybrooke, Maine, is actually the original Charming. He didn't actually die, but they thought he did. And that the second James, who fell in love with Snow White, is downstairs in the cuckoo's nest with Belle. So, just some theories to throw out there. Thanks, guys. Have a good time on the podcast on Thursday. I can't wait.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Well, yeah. You did mention, I know you looked it up. I've been pretty busy and what have you, but you looked it up and Nostos is a Greek word. I knew it was Greek, but just didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, there's at least one letter that has some more information about Nostos that we'll be dealing with, reading through on Saturday. So, homecoming, that was definitely... It makes perfect sense.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I agree with the double meaning. I mean, coming home being, you know, death.
Yep.
You know, going back to where you came from, essentially. But I'm also, you know, returning that which was lost. So that makes total sense.
And if this lake is tied with the wishing well.
Yep.
Then that could also be returning what was...
Right. Right. Something you were missing or something you lost.
So... Mm-hmm. So now some, I have to choose my words carefully. Some disagreed with your feeling that the water from the wishing well could produce text on paper.
I didn't say it could produce text. Well, I mean, I kind of said, what if that's what it is, like development.
Right.
So, okay, I guess that is a way of saying it. All right. Okay.
So let's kind of go here. Is if this water from Nostos could remove gold and produce what was inside of it before, I don't think it's too far of a stretch.
No, I don't either.
That if that water could be reached. Now, let's say there was tributaries and stuff, and then the water was dripping down into this lake, but a pocket of it could be reached by that wishing well.
Maybe.
That similar type of magical properties could be gotten by paper and different things. So
why not?
I'm just kind of laying it out there.
And if he was, as somebody was saying, mending the book, repairing the book,
right,
or even making a copy for himself... I'm thinking that's how it happened.
Now.
Because where was his printing press in there? I didn't see a printing press. I only saw the book bindery.
Right.
I didn't see any printing tools. So how'd the pages get printed on? I'm just saying.
The other thing, too, is that it makes sense in that way to me.
Yeah.
So.
It does. And you know what? Hey, you don't have to agree with me. That's totally fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. And we'll just see how it turns out when they reveal it.
I mean,
I'm willing to admit I'm wrong.
There's a lot
I am indeed wrong.
There's a lot of... and it's fun. I mean, the bottom line is you know, it's not right or wrong.
No,
it's
wrong
and fun. So.
Exactly. And that's the whole point is it gets the creative juices flowing.
Yep.
And I, for one, that's one of the things I love most about it is it helps me to think outside of my lawyerly box.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I like about it.
And yes, we do agree with you that Ruby is rose red.
Yeah, that seems to be pretty...
Which kind of ties in with the whole red ruby thing.
Right.
And that they are possibly sisters. I'm kind of leaning toward that now.
I am too.
As well. So, and let's see. I think that was it.
Was that all of them?
No.
Okay. One more?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, and the original Charming may be in a cell next to Bill.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, that is an interesting thought because, again...
But well, he was dead.
He was dead according to what they were saying. He was dead according to Fairytale, and Rumpel did say dead, can't bring him back. So he kind of echoed the whole genie thing, can't bring him back. But yeah, I mean it's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting theory.
Yep. And this is unfortunately the last voicemail.
Aww.
So here it is.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Karen. I'm from Massachusetts. I've really been enjoying your show. I listened to about four or five different Once Upon a Time podcasts, and yours is really pulled ahead. It's my favorite. So I just have a couple of things I wanted to mention. I have kind of a theory. I was almost wondering if Fairy Tale Land might not follow a linear timeline, like Storybook, they said it's kind of timeless and things from different eras kind of mixed in, so you can't really tell when it is. I almost wonder if in fairy tales, the same way that, you know, things don't happen in a linear progression. When you read fairy tales, they'll start once upon a time, and it's very nonspecific. So maybe it's like that in fairy tale land as well in the show. Maybe they jump and skip around and things like that as the way that narratives do. And the other thing I wanted to mention is for Colleen and anyone else who's crushing on Apple Stilton's too, is... He started in a show called Hamish Macbeth back in the early 90s on called Scottish BBC, and it's a fantastic series. He looks absolutely, Robert Carlyle looks absolutely wonderful in it. It's a lot of fun. He has a really cute dog. It's a fun series, and it is available on DVD if any other Robert Carlyle fans want to check that out. Nice to talk to you guys. Thank you so much for putting out your show every week. It's really a great listen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen.
And, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I would have love to check out that series with Mr. Carlyle because, you know, he's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
They all are. It's just, yeah, anyway. But, yeah, I do kind of think that she's got a point that the timeline in Fairy Tale Land is very non-linear as well, that it's non-specific because, you know, and it comes back to what we kind of said not too long ago, where we were talking about the fact that these fairy tales, I mean, we know kind of when they were written down and stuff, when they became popular, but again, what was the actual time period that they're supposed to occur in?
Right.
And I don't know if there really is. I mean, I think that's the beauty of the fact, the phrase once upon a time, so it could be almost any time.
Yeah.
Although, let's face facts, they're typically very medieval in their style and format and what have you. I'm just saying. Yeah. But I do think it's very interesting, and I do agree with her that I don't think the fairy tale world follows linear either.
Well, it's I was a bit amazed that... Now, for sure we saw in Rumpel's room...
Yeah, in his house?
Or yeah, in his estate.
His estate, huh?
That he had a lot of... Huh?
Which estate? The one he lives in real world or in Starbuck or in Fairy Tale?
Fairy Tale Land.
Okay, Fairy Tale Land. All right.
That there was a lot of things in there that were like all over the time continuum.
As Karen was mentioning. Yeah.
So I do think that maybe people can kind of zip in and out of time. Huh, I wonder who said that. Oh, that was me way back in the day. So anyway, but yeah, I think you're right. I think things kind of morph and change. I did really notice that they pointed out to me the use of a crossbow because the only things they used previously were a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's true.
So obviously riding a horse and shooting an arrow is pretty tough.
Yeah.
So with a crossbow, it's a little easier.
A tiny bit, but not much.
And they shot Ruby's basket. I really don't like that at all.
It's either the basket or her.
No. They shouldn't shoot anything around her.
Obviously, they shouldn't. But I'm just saying, And I think it was pointed out somewhere else. I think I might have even said it. My head's very fuzzy. I think the cold's getting to me. But Rumpel and Mr. Gold were nowhere to be found in this episode, and it really bothered me. I missed him.
Well, okay. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Yes.
For visiting the blog, for leaving your iTunes reviews, subscribing, voting in our Amazon store. You guys, we really, really appreciate it.
We do.
And I want to send big love out to everybody. We need that more and more these days. You know, it's tough times. And I want you to know that you matter to us and you matter to this whole journey has been so really cool. And I really want to thank everybody for traveling along, whether it's listening one episode one to now or kind of starting now and kind of experiencing this whole thing with us together. I just want to thank everybody for that.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
I think we're going to end the show because I want to make sure Saweetie gets a little rest. So
yeah, I probably should rest my voice and stuff.
So thanks so much, guys, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great week, and we will talk to you very soon.
Thanks. Bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.